Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. You've already taken care of the pleasantries for me, so I appreciate that. Again, for those of you who may not know me, my name is Hunter. I'm the associate pastor here at Southside Baptist Church, and I get the distinct privilege of sharing the Word of God with you this morning, okay? So we're going to be talking about today the simple pursuit of Jesus, the simple pursuit of Jesus. Now, simple does not mean easy, okay? Simple just means clear to understand, all right? So we're going to be talking about the simple pursuit of Jesus, and the verse that we're going to be talking about today is Matthew 16:24. So flip in your Bibles to Matthew 16:24. This is where we will be in our study this morning of the Word, okay? Test it out. Am I good? Better? We'll see. If anything, I can project my voice very loudly, so we might not need this thing anyway if it acts up, okay? So we're going to be talking about that this morning, and the goal for us this morning is for us to think about, in our relationship with Jesus, are we pursuing Christ by doing quite simply what he asks us to do? And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to take this mic off and switch to a handheld because it's clearly not working very well, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you have saved us, and ultimately you have saved us to follow you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so after that, we're now ready. All right, so let's read together Matthew 16, verse 24. All right, this is the passage that we're going to be in. You have your Bibles in front of you. Let's read this together. Matthew 16, verse 24 says this. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, in a sense, pursue me, let him do these three things. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Three simple, clear instructions. Doesn't mean that it's easy to do, but Jesus Christ clearly lays out to his disciples, if you yearn to pursue me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, if you have heard me preach before, you know that I very much appreciate context. We must take into account the context of the passage. If we don't do that, we have the tendency to misinterpret the passage. So one of the first contexts that we're going to look at is historical context. What is going on in the historical setting when Jesus teaches his disciples this? So the historical context is this teaching from Jesus most likely took place at Caesarea of Philippi. And this is where Jesus is now going to begin his third and his final journey to Jerusalem to bear the cross, die on the cross, and be raised for our salvation. He is beginning his third and final journey. Now, I want you to see this map up here. This map shows the where Caesarea of Philippi is. So Caesarea of Philippi is way up in the top right-hand corner, circled in red. And Jerusalem is down towards the bottom middle of the map, circled in red as well. Jesus is up in Caesarea of Philippi. And we know this because in Matthew 16, verse 13, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who does the people say I am?" And you may recall this passage. Some say Elijah, some say Moses. And Peter says, "You're the Messiah." And then Jesus goes, "Peter, you're amazing. Here are the kingdom keys. You're great. I'm going to build my kingdom on you," right? So Peter answers, "You are the Messiah." Well, verse 13 states clearly that they are in Caesarea Philippi. So they're in Caesarea Philippi. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" They say, Peter says he's the Messiah. He confirms to them he's the Messiah. And then we get to the literary context of what he teaches the disciples right before he tells them to deny themselves, take up your cross, and follow me. So the literary context is based on the passage before. We can clearly see that Jesus has been discussing his death with his disciples. What's about to happen? And this is the first of four predictions in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus tells about his death. So let's read the passage before, Matthew 16:21-23. Matthew 16:21-23 says this, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" And just a quick side note, I find this extremely eye-opening about the pride of our lives, that one minute we can go, "Jesus, you're the Messiah," and Jesus is like, "Peter, you're awesome." And the very next second he can say, "Get behind me, Satan, you are not thinking of the things of God, you're being prideful." If anything, that shows our human hearts and how fickle we can be towards Jesus. We can one day do things and say the right thing, and Jesus is like, "Amazing, great job." And the next, he's saying, "Nope, you're thinking of yourself. Get behind me." So just an interesting to point that out. But it's important for us to understand this, because when Jesus says, deny yourself, when Jesus says, take up your cross, he just got done telling his disciples that he was going to die and be crucified for their sins. So that helps us understand when Jesus asked them to deny themselves, when Jesus asked them to take up their cross, when he asked us to do that, that helps us understand the context of what he just talked to them about. And it's not something that we would want to make it mean. Rather, what is Jesus telling them that it means to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow him? All right? So let's reread Matthew 16:24. And I want to point out the first part before we get to these three, what I call simple but difficult steps. Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" The key thing I want you to mention before we get into these three steps is "would come after me." Would come after me. You see, "would" there, the word translated from the Greek is thelio, which means to will, to wish, to desire, to yearn. Jesus is saying that if you are pursuing him, a true disciple of Jesus yearns to come after him, wants to come after him, desires to follow him. A true disciple of Jesus is not one who is indifferent to what Jesus has asked them to do. A true disciple of Jesus has it in their heart that they want to pursue Jesus Christ. They want to come after him. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this passage, highlights this. He says, "A disciple of Christ comes after him, as a sheep after the shepherd, the servant after his master, the soldiers after their captain. He is the one that aims at the same end that Christ aimed at, the glory of God and the glory of heaven. And one that walks in the same way that he walked is led by his spirit, treads in his steps, submits to his conduct, and follows the Lamb wheresoever he goes." So before we even get to what does it mean to deny yourself, what does it mean to take up your cross, what does it mean to follow him, you have to be willing to do it in the first place. If you're not willing to pursue Christ in the first place, then your relationship with God is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. You're going to have struggles in your pursuit of God because you're not willing to pursue him in the first place. You have to have a heart that yearns after Christ and yearns after following in his footsteps, as a sheep after a shepherd, as a servant after his master, a soldier after their captain, yearning to walk in his way. If you start with that, if your heart is in that posture, then it becomes easier to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow him, because your heart is postured with a yearning desire to pursue Christ. And so the first thing of this passage, to pursue Christ means we must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. Again, look at your passage for this morning. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, step number one, let him deny himself. Step number one, let him deny himself. And this, church, this is one of the reasons Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for us that we might surrender our lives to him and no longer live for ourselves. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:15. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, died and was raised." Jesus Christ went to the cross, suffered a gruesome death, was resurrected for you and for me to live for him. Which means if we are going to live for him, we must first not live for ourselves, for our comforts, for our wants, for our desires. He died that we might no longer live for ourselves. And so to deny yourself essentially means to surrender. Surrender your wants. Surrender your control. Surrender what you believe is right for your life into the hands of the one who knows best and loves you best. So listen to this quote from Frederick Brunner on this as well, and it helps us see the difference. Jesus is giving us a way to loose ourselves from being gripped by the concerns of human beings. And that way is decisively to disown ourselves and the lordship of our own thinking and to go under new management. Self-denial is not so much giving up chocolates at Lent as it is giving up on ourselves as lords. It is the decision to let another lord rule over one's life. This is what it means by self-denial. To help you picture this, I ask everyone in here, I want you to picture a house. Picture a house. Very big house with a lot of rooms. For this illustration, this house is your life. In this room over here is time. This room over here is your family. This room over here is your friends. This room over here is your wealth and your job. This room over here is your health. This room over here is your sin and your mistakes and your shame. And too often in the American church, we believe that inviting Jesus into our life and surrendering him as our Lord and Savior is to invite him, open up the door, welcome into the home that is our life. Jesus, you can go into this room. You can rearrange my friendships. Absolutely. That's no problem. Jesus, I want to invite you into this room of my sin and my shame and my guilt. Would you help me be better at that? Jesus, I want to invite you into this room, and would you rearrange my control that I have over my family? Wait, Jesus, you want to go into my room called time? You want me to surrender the control that I have over the time that I spend during my day? I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. You can just stay out of that room. Jesus, you want to take over control of my health, my physical health? I don't know if I can trust you with that. I really want to still have control over that. Jesus, you want to go in and you want to rearrange insert room that you're thinking of your life? I don't know if I can let you do that. To surrender your life to Christ, to deny yourself, is not to invite Jesus into your house called life and let him be in rooms that you control him to be. To surrender your life to Christ is to hit your knees before the cross and give him the keys. He is the owner. He has control over every room of your life. To deny yourself means to surrender and say, Jesus, you have the keys. Jesus, I'm putting your name on the lease and the mortgage. Jesus, you are in control. You can do whatever you want. You can remodel whatever you want. You can tear down whatever you want because my life is now yours. To pursue Christ means to come after him by surrendering and denying yourself. And too often, church, we're afraid to do that. And it's understandable. It's hard to do that. It's not easy. It's not easy. But he still asks us to do that. So just because it's not easy doesn't mean we don't try. Just because it's not easy doesn't mean that we just give up and say, okay, but I'm comfortable with Jesus only being a part of my life on Sunday morning. I'm comfortable with Jesus only being a part of my life on my 10-minute Jesus calling devotional. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just using an illustration. I'm only comfortable, Jesus, with you in these areas of my life. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a Christian and to be known for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have to have total control of your life. Because too often, church, we don't let Jesus into the rooms of our life that we want control over because our hearts are like this, a closed fist. We want to keep hold of what we want to keep hold of. We don't want to let go of our time. We don't want to let go of our loved ones. We don't want to surrender our finances into the Lord's control, surrender our health into the Lord's control. We don't want to do that, so we hold on like this. When your fist is closed like this, when your heart is closed like this, there is no way for God to come in and to move and to help and to mold and to love you and to teach you and to guide you because you cannot let go. It is only when you can surrender everything in your life, when your heart is like this, that God can come in and he can move, he can teach, he can prune, he can help, he can comfort you. Because you're no longer holding on to things of your life that you believe you have to have control over. To deny yourself means to surrender everything to Christ. Give him the keys of your life. Stop holding on to control over what you believe is more important for you to have control over. Jesus knows better than us. Trust me. He does. He does. And so, only when you are able and willing to deny yourself can you do step number two, which is to take up your cross. So to pursue Christ, he asks us to take up our cross. Let's look at the passage again, Matthew 16, 24. Step number two, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want you to listen to how, again, Matthew Henry talks about the importance of denying yourself before you take up your cross. He says this, when we rejoice in our afflictions and glory in them, then we take up our cross. But listen to this. This fitly follows upon denying ourselves. For he that will not deny himself the pleasures of sin and the advantages of the world for Christ, when it comes to push, or like we like to say, when push comes to shove, will never have the heart to take up your cross. So it's important, church, that these happen in order, that we remind ourselves daily in order. If we want to take up our cross, if we want to bear on our shoulders the sacrifice of Christ that he has made for us, we first have to deny ourselves. That's the first step. But one thing I want to point out, and taking up your cross is what taking up your cross is not. And this is where context plays a very important part in this. Taking up your cross does not mean bearing the burdens in your life faithfully for God. It does not mean that I throw on my job that's so hard and I walk faithfully down the road that Christ has given me. It does not mean in its proper context, I throw on my shoulders my unsaved husband, my family members who are annoying me, my friends who are annoying me, and I just trudge along, bearing the burdens, walking faithfully after God. That's not a bad thing, but that's not what Christ means. That's not what Jesus is telling his disciples. Jesus is not telling his disciples, you know those families you left? When I say take up your cross, I mean just like love them faithfully, no matter how nagging this person may be or upsetting this person may be. Just love them and care for them faithfully as you walk after me. No, Jesus is asking them to die. Jesus is asking them to die. Listen to this quote from John MacArthur on this this passage as well, how he describes it, taking up your cross. Taking up one's cross is not some mystical level of selfless, deeper spiritual life that only the religious elite can hope to achieve. Nor is it the common trials and hardships that all persons experience sometime in life. A cross is not having an unsaved husband, a nagging wife, or a domineering mother-in-law. Nor is it having a physical handicap or suffering from an incurable disease. To take up one's cross, in its proper context, is simply to be willing to pay any price for Christ's sake. It is the willingness to endure shame, embarrassment, reproach, rejection, persecution, and even martyrdom for his sake. This is what Jesus is telling the disciples. If you want to take up your cross, you must be willing to sacrifice for me. So taking up your cross means willing to die and sacrifice everything for the sake of Jesus. That's what it means. But again, we can be very quick to not want to sacrifice anything for God. The only time we want to sacrifice is our Sunday morning. The only friends we want to sacrifice are the ones that are really bad for us that we don't want to be around, but others who probably have a negative influence, we don't want to sacrifice that. Jesus tells his disciples and those he's teaching that if you love me, you must hate your mother, brother, father, and friends and all of that. Hate those people. He's not saying don't love them. He's saying love me more. But sometimes we're not willing to make that sacrifice. So when we say to take up one's cross, when Jesus says to take up one's cross, he means are you willing to sacrifice whatever it takes for me? To come after me, to pursue me, to follow me as your Lord and Savior, are you willing to sacrifice anything in your life? Or just a little bit? And how do we know this? How do we know, Hunter, how do you know that Jesus is talking about being willing to die? The passage just before, Matthew 16, 21 through 23, again, Jesus says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He just told them he will die, and he's asking them, are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to do the same? We also know that Jesus' ministry was during the Roman Empire, where crucifixion was very popular. And so as his disciples and Jesus are going all through the land and up to Caesarea Philippi, down to Jerusalem, and everywhere else they went, they most likely saw people crucified along the road. They also knew that when you are going to be crucified, after your suffering, after your torture, you are called to what? Carry your cross to your place of death, to take up your cross. Jesus himself did this in John 19, 17. It said, and he, meaning Jesus, went out bearing his own cross. Essentially, we've all seen the movies, right? We've all seen the TV shows made about Jesus. He carries his cross on his shoulders. He even needs help to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. That's where Jesus carried his cross. He carried the instrument that was going to kill him. And he was crucified on it. And so Jesus is not asking his disciples to walk faithfully with the burdens of their life. Jesus is asking his disciples, if you want to come after me, if you desire to pursue me, you must first deny yourself and surrender your life. Second, you must be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes. Now, church, we are blessed. Do we agree with that? We are blessed to live in America. We can be here in this church comfortable, not really in fear of our safety, not really in fear of intense persecution. We can come every Sunday, fellowship with joy and love and comfort, knowing that we're okay. Nothing's going to most likely happen to us. We are very blessed. But see, sometimes that comfort, sometimes that lack of persecution dulls us into a complacency in our relationship with Christ where we're not willing to sacrifice anything because we don't even think about sacrificing anything. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ who have to meet in secret. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who have to read the Bible in secret, and if they are caught, they will die. We have brothers and sisters who diligently share the gospel and make disciples, all while knowing at any moment of any day someone can come and kill them, and it could be legal and it could be okay. But they love Jesus Christ. They love their Lord and Savior. So they yearn after him. They share the gospel. They do everything they can to tell people about the name of Jesus. Why? Because they love Jesus more than the physical comfort of this world. They are willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so my question to you is, what would our church, what would we look like as Southside Baptist Church if we were willing to do the same, all of us individually? If we were willing, no matter the cost to our physical comfort, no matter the cost to our spiritual unrest, no matter the cost to our friendships, our family, our time, if we were willing to come after Jesus, no matter the sacrifice, what would our church look like? What would us as disciples, what would our lives look like? I'd imagine that our brothers and sisters in other countries, even though they have the danger of their life upon them, they are filled with so much joy. They are filled with so much love. They are filled with so much desire to tell people about Jesus, a lot more than many people in America. And it's true, because they're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to tell people about Jesus. They don't want a no-cost relationship with Jesus. But a lot of times, we want that in our lives. I have wanted that in my life. There have been periods of my life where I want a no-cost relationship with Jesus. Jesus, I'll be in a relationship with you, God. I'll love you. I'll worship you as long as it does not cost me anything. John MacArthur again says this about this: those who make initial confessions of their desire to follow Jesus Christ but refuse to accept hardship or persecution are characterized as false and fruitless souls who are like rocky soil with no depth. They wither and die under the threat of the reproach of Christ. And this isn't just John MacArthur saying this. Jesus himself says this in Matthew 13, 20 through 21. Some of you know where Jesus talks about seeds scattered. And he says, some fall on rocky soil. They grow. They prosper. They're shown to bear fruit for Jesus. But as soon as the hardship comes, as soon as the sacrifice comes where God is asking you to sacrifice, they wither away. Because many people want a no-cost discipleship, but Christ offers no such option. Christ offers no such option. Christ does not say, look, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to rise again on the third day and defeat death for you so you can live the most comfortable life possible. So you can have all the money in the world. So you can never be sick. So you can never be hurt. So you can have all the best friends, all the best family, and everything in your life will be perfect. That's not why he died. Jesus Christ died that we might have salvation through him. Jesus Christ died to show us that through the suffering, through the pain, he is victorious. Jesus Christ died to show us that he knows what it's like to experience hardship and suffering. And our Savior, who is risen, who is with us, walks with us through that. He doesn't eliminate that from our life. Rather, he walks through us with that as a companion, as a friend, as a Lord. There is no such thing as a no-cost discipleship with Christ. If your relationship with Christ is characterized by all these good things and that you don't have to sacrifice anything, I challenge you to think, are you genuinely with your heart pursuing Jesus? Because if you are, there will be cost. It's just a fact. There will be cost. But that cost is so lovely because our Savior is with us. That cost is so lovely because he is molding us, he is shaping us, he is comforting us through what it costs to follow him. And so Paul himself had this attitude. Paul was willing to sacrifice whatever it took for the gospel of Jesus Christ because he knew that there were better things ahead. Romans 8:18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Paul said, look, I'm going through suffering, and it stinks. It's okay to acknowledge that suffering is hard. It's okay to acknowledge that suffering is not fun. But he said, the suffering I'm going through now pales in comparison to what waits for me eternally. It pales in comparison to be reunited with my Savior forever. So he had a willingness to take up his cross, and he essentially had a willingness to sacrifice whatever it takes. And for Paul, it was eventually his life. For some of us, most of us, it won't be our life. But there are other sacrifices that God asks us to make in order to follow him. And Paul was willing to make whatever sacrifices God asked of him so that he might enjoy and rejoice in the eternity that awaited him. He also characterized this attitude in Philippians 1:21. He said, "For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." Now, wait a minute. Death does not sound like a gain. Death does not sound like a gain. But I tell you, church, Keith McKenzie, our longtime member and a friend to many of us, he has gained. He has gained. His suffering is gone. His pain is gone. His tears are gone. And he is home forever with the Lord. He has gained. What greater thing on this earth could you gain that is greater than spending eternity with God? Tell me, anyone have an idea? What could you gain on this earth that is better than eternity with Jesus Christ? It's not a trick question. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing more important that you would gain in this earth than the beauty that awaits you in eternity because of your faith in Jesus. And so, if you have that attitude, then you are willing to sacrifice whatever it takes because you realize that this time on earth is about this much. And there's a rope that goes all the way that way and stays forever. And there's a rope that goes all the way out that way and stays in that direction forever. Never ends either way. And your life on this earth is about that much of that rope. And if you believe in Jesus Christ and you've surrendered to him as your Lord and Savior, for the rest of your time down that rope until eternity, you get to spend with Jesus. You get to rejoice in heaven. You get to experience greater love and greater joy than you've ever experienced on this earth. When we remind ourselves of that, it's pretty easy to be willing to sacrifice what it takes for the gospel of Jesus Christ here in this short time that we have. When we get to that eternity, when we get to heaven, do we want to say that in this short time that I had, I lived for myself? In this short time that I had, this small amount of time that I had, I was all about me? Jesus was only invited into a couple rooms of my life? I wasn't willing to sacrifice anything for the sake of gospel? Do we really want to say that? I know I don't. I don't want to get to heaven and tell Jesus what he already knows, that I've been living my life for myself. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7 that he will tell people to flee from him because he never knew them. He knows already. He knows right now whether you are living your life for yourself or for him. He knows. I hate to break it to you, but it's the truth. He knows right now. And so if you communicate to this world and to this church that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, God asks you to deny yourself and take up your cross. And you have to reflect in your own heart right now, are you doing that? Or are you willing to do that? Because when you are, you will experience no greater love and joy and happiness in following Jesus Christ than you ever have in your life. Because it's not about you anymore. It's about him. And so that's what he asks us to do. If we want to come after Jesus, if you in here are wanting to come after Jesus, you have to first deny yourself. You have to first surrender. And then, if you are willing to surrender, you can take up your cross. You can sacrifice what he asked you to sacrifice. Again, for many of us, that's not our life. But in this context, he asked the disciples to sacrifice their life. But we can be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes for the sake of the gospel because we love Jesus so much. And then we can do the last step, which means to pursue Christ, we must follow him. So again, Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and lastly, follow me. You see, we all can attempt at different times in our life to follow Jesus. We can all attempt to take his teaching seriously. We can all attempt to love our neighbors as ourselves. We can all attempt to do these things. There's no problem with trying. But when you truly deny yourself, when you truly are willing to make any sacrifice that Christ requires, then following Jesus becomes a pattern of your life and not an anomaly of your life. And so to follow Jesus, essentially, as Mr. Bruner says here, we follow Jesus by seeking to take his teaching seriously. There's no other way to explain our text in its context. When Jesus says, follow me. He's saying, take what I have told you seriously and do it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for your enemies. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be kind to people. Do those things. Take it seriously. Not just words on a page, but steps in your relationship with Christ. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he abides in him, as in Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If you are in here today and you claim to the entire world that you are a Christian, do you walk in the way in which he walked? I can tell you the truth. I don't do it perfectly. I don't. You can just ask my wife. I don't do it perfectly. I don't walk in the way Jesus walked perfectly, but I can tell you every single day I strive to. And so, again, following Christ means consistently practicing the teachings of Jesus until they become a pattern for your life. So ask yourself this question. Are you following the teachings of Jesus, and is it a pattern of your life or an anomaly of your life? Is loving your neighbor and praying for people a pattern of your life or something that happens ever so often? Is being kind a pattern of your life or an anomaly of your life? Is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength a pattern of your life or an anomaly of your life? You see, church, for many of us, it'll be an anomaly. Because for a lot of us, we turn to God when we need him. And those moments are few and far between. And so being kind to others, loving other people, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength can be a ever so often thing instead of a striving to do it daily thing. I'm not sitting here asking you to be perfect. No one is. Jesus is not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to try. He's asking you to make an effort. And not just make an effort once a month, and not just make an effort once a year. Make an effort every day to follow what he's asked you to do. again, I ask you the question, what would your life look like if every day you woke up and you desired and strove to follow Jesus and what he asked you to do? What would your life look like? It's not a perfection thing. You're not going to do it perfectly. I don't do it perfectly, but you can at least try. How hard is that to try? Make an effort to follow Jesus and let his teaching and his word become a pattern for your life. John 12, 26 says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Look at the first part. If anyone serves me, it doesn't say serve. It's not a one-time thing. Jesus asks us if we are to follow him, we are to serve him continually. And if we serve him continually, that means to follow him and what he asks us to do. And so again, this might seem daunting. This might seem like, Hunter, how could I possibly deny myself? How could I possibly be willing to sacrifice whatever God asked me to do? How could I possibly follow him? How could I do that? Good news for you, you don't have to do it on your own strength. If you've surrendered your life to Christ and believe in him as your Lord and Savior, we are promised that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And so we see that God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us do these things every day. You will fail if you try and do it on your own. I have failed because I've tried to follow God on my own. I've tried to do all the right things and say all the right things and be this person that everyone wants me to be, this good Christian guy on my own without the help of the Holy Spirit. And when I did that, there was no fruit. There was no love. There was no joy. Because I'm constantly striving to follow God on my own strength. And you don't have to depend solely on yourself. You have the Holy Spirit of God to help you. Do you ask for that help? Every day, do you wake up and ask, Lord, would you help me deny myself? Would you help me surrender control of this area to you? Control of my life, control of my friends, control of my family, control of my time. I'm struggling with this, God. Would you help me surrender it to you? And guess what? That day, you might not do it well. That doesn't mean you can't wake up the next day and try again. That doesn't mean you can't wake up the next day and pray again and say, God, again, I failed yesterday and I'm sorry. But would you please help me surrender control of this area of my life to you? You can wake up in the morning and you can pray, God, I don't know what you want me to sacrifice for you. My life has been filled with a lot of things that I want, but maybe you're asking me to let go, to sacrifice something in my life so I can grow closer to you. Lord, would you reveal that to me? Would you help me sacrifice it? And again, that day, you may not do it well. But again, that does not mean you can't wake up the next day and try again. Again, with following him, you can pray, God, help me follow you. Help me be kind to people. Help me pray for my enemies. Help me love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help me do that. And you may not do it perfectly that day, but you can try again the next. God has given you, through the Holy Spirit of God, the strength to help you do that. Would you tap into that? Would you recognize that? Would you accept that and move forward in your relationship with Christ with the strength that the Holy Spirit gives you to move forward? And so, as we close, I want to ask you these reflection questions, and then there's going to be a song that's played over the speakers during our prayer time. I'll be down front to pray. Two of our deacons will be down front to pray as well. As this song plays, I want you to think about these reflection questions. Think about your life. Where are you at with Jesus Christ right now? How is your pursuit of Jesus Christ characterized in light of what he's asked the disciples to do and what he's asked us to do? These three simple things. They're not easy. They're difficult. But the Holy Spirit will help us do them if we ask and if we genuinely want to follow him. So these three questions, Think about these during our prayer time. Number one, have you truly denied yourself and surrendered your life to Christ? Or are you still holding on to being the Lord over your own life? Some of you may say, yes, I've surrendered my life to Christ. What rooms in the house of your life are you still not letting him into? What areas in your life are you still holding control over that is hindering your pursuit of Jesus? That is hindering your growth in love with Jesus, your intimacy and joy with Jesus? What are you still holding on to? And how can you surrender that today? Question number two, are you genuinely willing to sacrifice everything in your life as you know it, socially, emotionally, and maybe even physically for Jesus Christ? Again, physically may not apply to a lot of us in this room. But are you at least willing to do it? Are you willing to sacrifice whatever it takes for God to come into your life and give you more love, more hope, more joy, more peace, more comfort than you could possibly imagine? But you're not experiencing that because you're not willing to sacrifice anything. Are you willing? And if you are willing, what areas in your life do you maybe need to sacrifice for God? What time do you need to sacrifice for God? What friends, family do you maybe need to sacrifice for God? Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Such a beautiful and loving sacrifice. And some of us, we're not even willing to sacrifice our time for him. We're not even willing to sacrifice our friends or family or money or health for him. Are you willing to do that? I promise you, if you're willing to lay everything at his feet and say, God, give and take what you want, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes, you will be amazed how much you will consistently grow closer to Jesus Christ. And question number three, pursuing Christ means following his commands. Where in your life are you failing to try and obey his commands and follow him? Is following Jesus a pattern of your life or an anomaly? Ask yourself that question during this prayer time. Again, I fail at this. I'm not up here trying to say that I am better than anyone. I'm not. I'm a sinner in need of grace. But I can strive every day to follow the teachings that Jesus has laid out in his word. I can try. And I'll fail and I'll get up again and try. Does that characterize you? Are you trying to follow Jesus every day? And for someone in here who may not have surrendered their life to Christ, who may not know what Jesus Christ has done for you, let me encourage you with this. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Christ was not his last name. Jesus the Messiah, the Savior of the world, came to this earth, lived a perfect and beautiful life. He healed people, he helped people, he loved people, all to point them to him, that I am here to save you. Repent of your sins and trust in me. He lived a perfect life, a loving life. He then was falsely accused, taken to a cross, beaten and tortured and crucified, and he died. On the third day, he rose and resurrected, defeating death forever. That so if anyone were to believe in him as the Lord and Savior of the world, they might have eternal life, eternal joy, eternal comfort. That is what Jesus Christ has done for those who surrender their life to him. And maybe you need to do that today. Maybe your whole life you've been walking around living for yourself, and you can see quite clearly what that has gotten you, how that has truly benefited you. And maybe managing the house of your life has gotten too hectic, and you need to hand over the keys. Jesus Christ is more than willing to take those keys to come into your life and to change your life more than you could possibly imagine. All that he asks you to do today is to surrender, to give it up, to stop living for yourself and live for him, and trust that what he did on the cross was for you because he loved you and he defeated death for you forever. So think about that. If you feel the Holy Spirit on your heart, think about the truth of that, of what Jesus has done for you, and would you consider surrendering your life to Christ today? So as this song plays, again, we'll be down front to pray. But I want you to listen to this song and pray through these questions and pray and think about how you can surrender and pray that God would have his way in your heart, no matter what that means for your life. So let's listen to this. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, thank you for this opportunity that we get to live in this country where we get to come here today, where we get to worship and be glad and rejoice and not in fear. Jesus, I thank you for your instruction. Although it is simple, it is hard, it is difficult, and I need help, Jesus. I need help. Jesus, would you help me? Would you give me the strength to deny myself and surrender my life to you every day? Not just in the moment that I was saved, but every day, because I love you. Jesus, would you help me? Give me the strength to take up my cross, to be willing to sacrifice whatever you ask of me, because I love you more than anything. Jesus, would you give me the strength? Would you give us the strength to follow you, to take your teaching seriously, to do what you've asked us to do as a pattern of our life and not just an anomaly, because we love you and we're so thankful for you. Lord, I pray that we would surrender individually and collectively as a church, at Southside Baptist Church, we would surrender. And God, we ask, would you have your way in our lives and in this church that we may reach this community for the sake of Jesus Christ, for no greater reason than because we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.